From the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. Whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life, and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up anew. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We begin the fourth stage of the Church's annual mystagogical catechesis during the Easter season. For those who were baptized at Easter, and for all of us who were baptized many years ago, so that we might be renewed in the foundations of our faith. First stage, as you remember, were those apparitions of the Lord to convince us that he had truly risen from the dead and he gave us instructions. Second was 4 days, pondering the meaning of baptism. Third was an 8-day second octave in Easter, helping us to see how we encounter the risen Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Now we begin a few days on Jesus as the Good Shepherd, so that we can recognize just who has saved us and how we are to relate to him as he behaves toward us in very concrete ways. Today, we have the beginning of his discourse on what it means to be the Good Shepherd. And in it, he describes that he does 5 things for us as our shepherd, which occasions a 5-fold response on our part if we're really going to live according to this new life he has given us. First thing that he communicates is that he knows us personally and calls us by name. None of us is another number. All of us are particularly special. Second, that he guides and leads us. He takes us out and he leads us back again. That he doesn't leave us abandoned or lost. says that his sheep hear his voice, that we're tuned into his frequency. We distinguish his voice from the voice of imposters who just want to lead us to destruction. The Lord, who calls us initially, continues to speak to us, to guide us. Third, he feeds us. It says in St. Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus looked at that vast crowd, they were like sheep without a shepherd. So that's when he worked the first miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fish. And the most famous of all the Psalms, Psalm 23, we see with the Lord as our shepherd, he wants to set a banquet for us. So he's constantly desiring to feed us. How many times we've overlooked that prayer that he taught us to say to the Father, give us today our daily bread. But each day he gives us our material nutrition. He likewise, every single day, responds by raining down the epiousios, the supersubstantial bread from heaven. The Good Shepherd continuously feeds us. Fourth, he protects us against those who seek to destroy us. It's a beautiful passage here in which the sheep, knowing that they're protected, are able to go out and come back. They're not afraid. With the Lord as our shepherd, he gives us the capacity to have this holy parousia, this holy boldness, just like we see in the first disciples, who, even though the same people were threatening to kill them, as actually carried out that wish in a gruesome way against Jesus, they were still able to be themselves because they knew that even should they die, not a hair on their head paradoxically would be touched, because the Lord would work that out for the good, that it would all be raised. And then fifth, he gives us life to the full precisely by laying down his life for us. Three times in this passage, he talks about how he is that good shepherd, is about to die. He's not going to die as a victim. No one takes my life from me, I freely lay it down. He lays it down out of love, and it's precisely through this grain of wheat falling to the ground that he's able to bear fruit in us. He gives his life so that we might have that Zoe, that higher form of supernatural life, to the full. And so what is our reaction to this fivefold action? It's the response to the vocation, response to the call. We recognize Jesus knows us by name. So we allow ourselves constantly to be summoned by him personally. That we're not like somebody else. We're not wearing somebody else's habit or chasuble. That the Lord calls us and we have confidence in that summons. Second, he continues to guide us. He sends the Holy Spirit to guide us. He sends the church to guide us. He sends superiors to guide us. He sends others to guide us. But the Lord constantly wants to guide us on that narrow way that leads to the eternal sheepfold. That we hunger for what he gives us, and that we respond with extraordinary gratitude. That we don't wander from his hand, but remain under his protection, the protection of the sacraments, the protection of prayer, the protection of St. Michael, as we pray at the end of every Mass. And that we allow that life to the full to become the defining reality of our life, so that receiving God's love, receiving God's self-gift, we receive it to overflowing, so that we in turn can help attune others' voice to his call, so that we can be those guideposts leading them toward him, so that he can ask of us, what do you have, as he feeds that infamished crowd material and spiritually, so that we can become real spiritual fathers or spiritual mama bears, protecting those who the thieves and the marauders are trying to destroy. And so that we might find that most abundant life through imitating Jesus' own self-giving. No one takes our life from us. If we're asked to do something that we would prefer not to do, we could either do it full of resentment, or we could say, no one is stealing my life. I choose to do what I find hard. And that's the way that we open ourselves ever more to the way that he wants to give us his eternal life in this world and forever. Today the Church rejoices to celebrate the feast of Blessed Miriam Teresa Demyanovich, who is someone who lived in this relationship with the Good Shepherd. From a young age, growing up in Bayonne, New Jersey, she heard the Lord calling her, and she responded by name. As the Lord guided her in her holy home, the Eastern Rite Catholicism, she continued to grow. She continued to walk in His way, growing quite virtuous. She received the Lord's nutrition. She had a great hunger to receive the Lord each day, because as she would eventually write, the Lord Himself gives Himself to us each day, and in this contains the source of holiness. She was under His protection. Now, she had a circuitous route toward religious life. She had felt the call very young to be a Carmelite, but because she had various small little health problems, they wanted her to delay. And likewise, she needed to care for her ill mom until her mom died, and then her dad was sick and alone, even though there were six other kids in the family. And so she took a job teaching in order to be able to care for him until his death. But after he died, the next week she applied to become a Sister of Charity in a place in College Station where she herself had taught as a laywoman in order to care for her father. But through all of this, she had a sense that the Lord, who had given her vocation, would protect it, even though she wasn't sure how it would play out. She received His life. She knew how blessed she was, and she wanted to pass that life on to others. What an extraordinary thing her spiritual director did, Father Benedict, a Benedictine who had come. He recognized by an intimation, he said, that she was really quite special when she was a 3-month postulant and then a 2-year novice. And so he asked her to write the conferences for all the other novices, because she had a deep treasure inside, and he just knew that this would be a way in which that treasure would be able to be preserved for all the rest of us, so that what the Good Shepherd had given her, she would be able to give to us. That would be the way this life would be passed on. So she wrote all the conferences to the fellow novices. No one knew where they had come from, but after she had died 90 years ago today, he just put a small little note on the board saying, "All the conferences I've been preaching to you were written by Sister Miriam Teresa." Sister Miriam said that it's really quite easy to become a saint. This was the essence of what she passed on in that book of conferences eventually published by her brother, who was a Monsignor in the Archdiocese of Newark, Charles, A Greater Perfection. That holiness is easy, but we just have to be willing to do what the Good Shepherd Himself does. She says it comes through self-annihilation, comes through giving of ourselves over to the full. Having received the Lord's total emptying of Himself, we receive that gift, and together with the Lord, we start to give ourselves toward others. We go really humble, doing every most humble service, not against the grain, not just simply because it's a duty, but willingly out of love. She says this is the means, and God provides the help. Today, as we come forward to receive the Good Shepherd, who calls us anew today, who wants to guide us throughout the day, who's about to feed us with Himself so that we might be protected not just from the outside, but from the elements even on the inside, and so that we might rejoice in His life in which He constantly gives Himself to us. Let us, through Blessed Miriam Teresa's intercession, ask for the grace to correspond to this love of the Good Shepherd as she did, so that with many others, whom Jesus likewise through us will call by name, we might come to rejoice forever in that eternal sheepfold where the Good Shepherd has set the table. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.